2. Emperor Karl Franz I sat in his box at the rear of the Great Hall, raised above his subjects, with Luitpold to one side and Oswald at the other. An attendant held out a tray of sweetmeats, which Luitpold had been gluttonously helping himself to. The red curtain hung in front of the raised stage, sporting tragic and comic masks picked out in gold. He glanced over his programme, gathering from the order of the names listed when each player would make his entrance. Drachenfels boasted a prologue, 5 acts, and an envoy, with 6 intervals, including 1 for a buffet supper. It should run about 6 hours. Karl Franz shifted in his comfortable seat and wondered whether Luitpold could sit still for the whole thing. It would be a great tribute to Detlef Sierck if the boy could manage it. Of course, Luitpold was eager to learn what his uncle Oswald had done as a youth. Oswald himself sat cool and quiet, refusing to be drawn on what he knew of the drama. "The story is ordinary," he had said. "It's the presentation which counts." The curtain's rise was a good 10 minutes late by Karl Franz's antique timepiece. He had expected no less. In his empire, nothing ever started on time. Countess Emmanuel was wearing another astonishing creation this evening. It took the off-the-shoulder concept to such an extent that it might almost be classed as off-the-entire-body. The grand theogonist was already asleep, but he had his adviser Matthias beside him to prod him if he snored too loudly. As usual, Baron Johann von Mecklenburg looked uncomfortable with a roof over him, but he was wearing his court clothes better as time passed. Talleyrand and Middenheim were conferring together, plotting, probably. The halfling was drunk. Middenland had heard there would be dancing girls wearing very little, and was salivating in his corner, his programme quivering over his padded codpiece. Princes, counts, electors, high priests, barons, burgomeisters, dukes, and an emperor. This must be the most distinguished audience in history. Detlef Sierck should be proud of it. A strange thought came to Karl Franz. If anything were to happen tonight, if a keg of lighted gunpowder were hurled into the audience, for instance, then a country would fall. The Empress could never reign in his stead, and all the other logical successors were here. Like every man to occupy his position since the time of Sigmar 2.5 millennia ago, Karl Franz was conscious of the precariousness of his seat. Without him, without these men, the empire would be a writhing collection of warring cities and provinces within 3 months. It would be like Tylea, but stretching the continent from Bretonnia to Kislev.
"When's it going to start, Father?"
"Soon. Even emperors must wait upon art, Luitpold."
"Well, when I'm emperor, I won't."
Karl Franz was amused. "You have to grow up, prove yourself, and be elected first."
"Oh, that."
The house lights dimmed and the chatter died down. A spot struck the curtains and they split, allowing a man in knee breeches and a wig to emerge. There was a smattering of applause.
"Felix Huberman," said Oswald, "the conductor."
The musicians in their pit raised their instruments. Huberman bowed, but didn't produce his baton.
"Your Majesties, my lord, ladies and gentlemen," he said in a high, mellifluous voice, "I have an announcement to make."
There was a ripple of murmuring. Huberman waited for it to die down before continuing.
"Owing to a sudden indisposition, the role of Genevieve Dieudonné will not be taken at this performance by Miss Lily Nissen."
There were audible moans of disappointment from several electors who ought to have known better. Middenland spluttered with indignation. Baron Johann and Countess Emmanuel, for different reasons, sighed with relief. Karl Franz looked at Oswald, who shrugged blankly.
"Instead, the role of Genevieve Dieudonné will be taken by Miss Genevieve Dieudonné."
There was general amazement. Even Oswald was taken aback.
"Your Majesty, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, thank you."
Huberman raised his baton,
and the orchestra struck up the Drachenfels overture. The first three basso chords, keyed to the syllables of the great enchanter's name, chilled Karl Franz's spine. The strings came in, and the curtains parted on a rocky promontory in the grey mountains. The chorus came forward and began.
Listen, my masters, and listen well, for I have a tale of horrors to tell, of heroes and demons and blood and death, and the vilest monster e'er to draw breath.